Welcome to Fill in the Gap, part of the Vendetta Sports Podcast Network. I'm your host, Alex Philbrick. Today is our seventh episode, I believe, and we have a first-time guest joining the show. Matt Brashear is with us for our Major League Baseball preview. Quickly, I wanted to mention some things before we start. In our last episode, Will Philbrick and I did picks 1 through 16 of our NFL mock draft. On that episode, I said the second part would be coming out within the next couple of days. It has not yet, but we still definitely are going to put out picks 17 through 32. We plan on doing it tomorrow, so hopefully that'll be out within the next day or two for sure. Also, I wanted to mention that the next week and a half should be big for PITG. In addition to today's MLB preview and part two of the mock draft coming out soon, we are doing a Masters preview with Kyle Evans at the beginning of next week. Masters week is next week, so we're going to be talking to him about certain players he likes, certain guys that might be good bets to bet on, and everything that is involved with Masters. We are also planning a date to have a very special guest on, probably in about 2 weeks. I don't want to say who that guest is because I don't want to jinx it, but it's a really big thing for the podcast, and I think it'll be an awesome episode as well. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes by searching Fill in the Gap on the podcast app. You'll be able to easily find every episode that I'm mentioning. If you do subscribe, it'll automatically download. One of the best days in sports to me is opening day. If you say the phrase opening day, that everybody knows you're talking about baseball. It's full of tradition. It's kind of an American tradition in a way. Before opening day arrives, which is Thursday, Matt and I wanted to give our MLB preview. Today we'll be making predictions for each division, give our World Series matchup and winner, hand out some awards, and much more. So here is Fill in the Gap's 2018 MLB preview. Hope you guys enjoy it. Matt Brashear, first time guest on Fill in the Gap. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good. Matt is a big baseball fan. He played baseball in college, and he is a St. Louis sports fan. Blues, well, previously Rams, but now he's LA Rams. Cardinals. So would you say Cardinals are your number one sports team?
Oh, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to be doing our Major League Baseball preview. Season starts Thursday, just a couple days away. Are you like really, really pumped for opening day, as I would imagine?
Yes. I would say, like you mentioned, Cardinals are my favorite team, but I'm just more of a baseball fan. And like you said, opening day is just one of the greatest days to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fun. Everybody's full of hope, even if you know your team's not going to be very good. But those first opening day and then that first week or so is, I mean, everybody's on fire for baseball. Then it kind of settles in that you have a very long road ahead of you. But opening day is, yeah, it's very fun. Matt and I, we enjoy talking about baseball. We see eye to eye on a lot of things surrounding the game as far as how we view stats, how we you know, judge players and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to this. I would imagine we might have a lot of similar picks, but that's okay. We're going to talk, you know, we'll give reasoning for each of our picks. Talk about some of our favorite players. We both share the same favorite player with Mike Trout, but we're gonna have a lot of the same reasoning, I think. But it'll be good to talk about. I'm excited about it. So we can just jump right in. We're just gonna go through each division, give our winners, kind of look ahead at some, you know, storylines that we like going into the season that we find interesting. So let's start with the NL East. So for each division, before we start, real quick, I kind of wrote. One big question that I have regarding a team or just that division as a whole. So for the NL East, the one thing that I thought about was, will the Nats finally get over the hump? This is something that you could have asked the past 5 years, it feels like. They've been the best team in that division over that time, but in the playoffs, they always fall flat, whether that's to the Cubs, the Mets, whoever. They're the most talented team, for sure. They have last year's Cy Young winner, Max Scherzer. They have an MVP in Bryce Harper, along with some other guys. I picked the Nationals as my division winner. I don't think that's a very, you know, that's a pretty easy prediction to make. Matt, who did you have the Nationals as well?
I have the Nationals as well. Their pitching, like you said, is stellar with Scherzer, Strasburg, Gio Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. That's one of the top rotations in MLB.
Definitely.
You can't deny that. Their lineup is stacked. They have Bryce Harper, one of the best players in the game. Yeah. Trey Turner, one of the best young shortstops. They have Daniel Murphy. He's on the DL to start the season with knee surgery, but he's going to be back soon. And then they also are getting Adam Eaton back. A lot of people forgot about him because he tore his ACL last year and missed all season. But they traded away their top pitching prospect to get Adam Eaton.
Yeah.
So they clearly see something that they think maybe Adam Eaton's the guy that can put him over the edge.
Yeah, and whenever you mentioned their rotation, it reminded me, you know, their best pitcher is Scherzer, but they also have freaking Steven Strasburg. Like, he at one point he was thought of to be a future Hall of Fame, and he still could very well be a future Hall of Fame starting pitcher, and it's almost as if people kind of forgot about him because Scherzer's so great. But yeah, I mean, sure, he could win a Cy Young any given year, you never know. But do you see any other team really challenging them? I know the Mets are probably just the second best team if you by default, but it doesn't seem like anybody can really challenge them.
I agree. I think you look at the Mets and you look at them because of their rotation, as in Syndergaard and Steven Matz and Matt Harvey. They also got Jason Vargas, who won 18 games last year. Yeah. So that's he's going. I think Jason Vargas is actually starting on the DL, but he's coming back in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's not a big hit. But like then you look, their best player is Cespedes, and like the lineups, like the Nationals clearly have the better lineup.
Yeah. This might be just me being ignorant. I guess it is. What's this deal with Jacob deGrom? Do you know? Because he was part – and Matt Harvey. I mean, it seems like – is deGrom out? Because I know he was injured last year. It seems like Syndergaard is the only one of those three that is, you know, still a promising player. I haven't really heard anything about deGrom. Maybe it's because he's out for the year. That's just me being ignorant. But do you have any idea what's going on with him?
I know that's like the big question is health with them. Because like Syndergaard got hurt last year with the bone spurs in his elbow. Matt Harvey had thoracic syndrome in his arm and like couldn't even feel his hand when he's throwing.
Yeah.
And Jacob deGrom's been good.
When he's been there.
But yeah, when he's there.
Yeah.
And so if you think you're gonna put all your eggs in one basket with the Mets pitching staff, I just don't think they're going to overpower the Nats.
Yeah, I agree. So we both have the Nationals for winning the NL East. Moving along to the NL Central, both of our favorite teams reside in the Central. We mentioned Matt's a Cardinals fan. Unfortunately, I am a Cincinnati Reds fan. We will discuss them just a little bit. Not much to talk about there. But so I guess for the winning the NL Central, I think it's all another answer that most people are going to have. I have the Cubs. But the question I had for the NL Central is, can anyone challenge the Cubs? I'll let you go ahead and discuss that a little bit before I mention anything else.
I think that's a good question. As the Cardinals clearly got better this offseason. They added Marcell Ozuna. He coming off a Silver Slugger and a Gold Glove last year with the Marlins. So
yeah.
I think that's obviously a plus addition. The question with me now is, like, does Tommy Pham have the same season he had last year?
Mm-hmm.
He has the degenerative eye condition in his right eye, which is just crazy
that
to think
crazy
about.
That a major league player could have a degenerative eye problem and still be a full-time hitter.
Yes. Which, actually, I read an article the other day, is that he lost his contact lens, his right eye contact lens, and that's why he's been struggling so hard in the spring training.
I think
he's batting like 180 right now in spring training. And so that's going to be a question. The Cardinals have questions in their bullpen. They have no closer.
Yeah.
Luke Gregerson, who they signed in the offseason, is starting on the DL.
That's not good.
With a hamstring injury. So that's a question. Also, the other contender, really only contender, I think, outside the Cardinals to the Cubs is the Brewers.
Definitely, yeah.
And I think the Brewers clearly made additions in Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
But their question is their pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And their pitching staff is, their best pitcher is Jimmy Nelson, who had shoulder surgery in September. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's not coming back. And I don't think the Brewers' offense lineup can carry them past the Cubs. Or even the Cardinals, honestly.
Yeah, and the Brewers, I wrote down in my notes the two additions you made. That's probably the best outfield in the division with adding Braun to Yelich and Lorenzo Cain. That's pretty good. Do you think somebody else might be better?
No, I think the Brewers have the best outfield, the Brewers actually kind of have a situation to me, as they have Domingo Santana,
mm-hmm.
who played quite a bit for them last year and started a lot of games, played well, so they tried moving Ryan Braun to first base this spring training, and he's been struggling.
Yeah.
But Eric Thames, played last year. He hit 31 home runs last year.
Yeah, he was good last year. So we both have the Cubs winning the division. Their big offseason move was adding Yu Darvish. Whenever Yu Darvish is healthy, he's got awesome stuff. I really like watching him pitch whenever he's healthy. But there's that problem that he's oftentimes not healthy. Do you think that he can give the Cubs a full season and at least be as good or if not better than Arrieta?
I think there's two things to it. One, I don't think he's going to have a good full season.
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't. So it's hard to believe he's going to now because he's on the Cubs.
Yeah.
But I think since he's on the Cubs, it's okay if he doesn't have a good full season.
That's true.
Because they can overcome that.
They can carry it a little bit,
And they're not going to have too much competition that's going to be forcing them.
Yeah. I mentioned I was a Reds fan. The Reds suck. That's okay. They're trying to do like the thing where you get a bunch of draft picks and then become good like the Astros and the Cubs did. Whether that'll work, I have my doubts. The one thing we do have is Joey Votto. He's one of the best players in the league. We'll talk about him more after we go through the divisions, but him and Trout are my two favorite players. Votto is amazing, so he's the only reason to pay attention to the Reds this year. But, you know, I wish they were going to be good, but they're just not going to. Next division up is the NL West. My question for this division was, is this the best division in baseball? Before we give our winners, I want you to answer that question. Do you think the NL West is the best division in major leagues this year?
I would think so. I think they're, if not the best, the most competitive by far.
Yeah.
I think the most even teams.
I think between the Dodgers, Rockies, and Diamondbacks, that's three teams that could very well make the be a wild card or a playoff team. And I think the Giants will be better for sure, even with the Bumgarner injury, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. And I mean, the Padres are kind of irrelevant anyway, but they signed Hosmer, so maybe they'll be a little bit better. But I do think this is the best division in baseball. The winner of this division for me, I picked the Rockies. I understand that the favorite is the Dodgers. I'll admit I kind of made the Rockies my winner just to be a little bit different. But I do think they're good. I like their roster a lot. Nolan Arenado is one of my favorite players in the league. He's a freaking stud. They added Wade Davis, who's a really, really good closer. He was on the Cubs last year. Their starting pitching is really young and unproven. It's got potential. I think that might be what holds them back, if anything does. But I know you have a different winner for the NL West. Who did you have?
I have the Dodgers. I know that's kind of a sellout pick. But if you look at their lineup, to me, it's like you have to almost pick them.
Yeah.
And they have the best pitcher in the game in Clayton Kershaw.
I agree.
So it's hard to bet against him. But you got Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, Puig, Chris Taylor, Matt Kemp, and then Justin Turner, even though Justin Turner has the broken wrist right now.
Yeah.
But he's going to miss 6 to 8
weeks,
I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's going to be back probably towards the end of May. He doesn't have to have surgery, which is huge, obviously. I think they're going to be fine still. Now, another team that has a big injury is the Giants, Madison Bumgarner. He broke his knuckle on his left pinky, correct?
Yeah.
He's going to be out for probably 8 weeks or so. The Giants were terrible last year. They finished last. They signed Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutchen. The thing about the Bumgarner injury, I don't really know how much that changes how they were going to be. I think they were going to be better than last year, but I don't think they were going to be with those additions. I don't think that was something that made them, you know, they could win the division now or even make the wild card. So while that's going to hurt them until he comes back, I don't think that makes them not a playoff team when they were going to be a playoff team if he didn't get injured.
I agree. I don't think, like, you look at it, like, they can't get much worse than last year. Like, they got last.
Mm-hmm.
But they, with Andrew McCutchen and Longoria, yeah. I think they're obviously getting more wins with them.
Yeah, I agree.
But I agree in the same boat. I don't think they're going to challenge in the West for a playoff spot.
I mean, honestly, I'll be barring, you know, injuries, which will happen, but I don't know that they're going to even finish in the top three of this division.
Oh, that would be, I would say if they did that,
I'll be surprised.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
So, do you want to give our wild cards for the National League, or do you want to wait till we go through the AL divisions and give both? The American League, and then give both wild cards for.
We can just wait because we'll
wait. Playoffs. So let's go to the AL West. I mean, obviously the favorite is the Astros. They're coming off a World Series championship. The question I had for the AL West was regarding the Astros, and it's, do you think the Astros have the best shot to repeat of any team in the last 10 years? They seem to be, I mean, they won it last year as a really young squad. I mean, the only veteran I can really think of is, I shouldn't say veteran, I guess old guy, Verlander and McCann. Those are really the only two players that aren't considered young guys. They bring everybody back. They added Garrett Cole. Their starting rotation is, their 1-4 is probably as good or better than anybody else in the major leagues. I very well could see them repeating. What about you?
I think so too. Which is, it sucks for the Angels because you look at the Angels roster and it's like they're a good competitive team.
Yeah.
Like you have Trout, Upton, Cole Calhoun, Andrelton Simmons, Ian Kinsler, Zach Cozart from the Reds.
I forgot that Cozart and Kinsler went to the Angels. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
And it sucks because I like the Angels because of Mike Trout.
Yeah, me too.
And that's that. I wish the Angels could beat the Astros, but I feel like I would just be lying to you if I said I think the Angels could beat the Astros.
Yeah, same. And we as I mentioned earlier, Trout is both of our favorite players, but. In Little Rock, there's a team, Arkansas Travelers. They're the Double A team. They're a Double A team in the Texas League. When Trout was in the minor leagues, he played for the Travelers because they were the affiliate for the Angels. They've now switched to the Mariners. But so he was playing in Little Rock for one summer, and I got to watch him. That's where I first heard about him, and he became my favorite player. Matt just likes him because he likes good baseball, and Trout's the best baseball player in the league. But I picked the Astros to win the division. I know you did too. And they're just loaded, man. I mean, Altuve is an all-time great player already. Carlos Correa looks so much like young A-Rod to me, and just like his physical stature, his batting stance is similar. He's an awesome player. They added Garrett Cole. Justin Verlander's in his first full season in Houston. Their number three or four starter is Lance McCullers, he's awesome when he's healthy. I really like watching him. We know they have Keuchel with his huge beard. I just don't see them not winning the division this year in the West. And I know you had them too, so we can move on to the AL Central.
One person you're forgetting also, George Springer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he bats leadoff, and he's yeah. awesome. When I think of the Astros right now, I just think about that Game 6 whenever they were just smoking home runs. And George Springer, he had that error, you know, that gave the Dodgers the lead, and then he led off the inning, first pitch, just hit one of the coolest home runs I've ever seen. Yeah. That was an awesome moment. For the AL Central, so I couldn't come up with a question for this division, and what I put down will tell you why. So what I wrote down, tell me something interesting about this division. It bores me.
That's a very accurate description of this division. You got the Indians, the Twins, the Royals, the White Sox, and two of those teams are what they're now calling rebuild mode.
Yeah.
With the White Sox and the Royals. The Royals kind of went.
Yeah, go ahead.
And they went for it with when they had Hosmer and Moustakas. Mm-hmm.
And they won.
Yeah, and they won it.
And they made it the year before to the World Series.
Yeah. So they got the World Series with them, but now it's their window is closed, I believe.
And the Tigers are another one of those teams that, I mean, I guess they're in rebuilding mode, but they're going to be really, really bad.
I honestly forgot about them because how bad they are.
I mean, they have the lowest, tied for the lowest odds in all of baseball to win the World Series. They're going to suck really bad. I mean, it looks like it's the Indians division again. The Twins aren't bad. They can definitely challenge them, but there's still not really that much interesting going on in this division, I feel. Lindor's really good, and Kluber's a Cy Young winner. He's one of the best in the game for sure. And the Twins have Byron Buxton and some other interesting guys, but I just don't. There's not really much to watch in this division as opposed to other divisions for me.
And I agree. We talked about it a little earlier. The Indians, they didn't get better this offseason.
Yeah.
And that's where I don't think they're going to compete when it comes to playoff time. Mm-hmm. They still have the pitching in Kluber, Carrasco, Trevor Bauer. Danny Salazar.
Allen closing.
Yeah, Cody Allen. Yeah. And Andrew Miller.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's awesome.
So, like, they still have the pitching,
Yeah.
But, like, they lost Carlos Santana to the Phillies this offseason. So, I don't think their offense is going to be able to come time when you face, like, the Yankees.
Where
the Yankees are going to put up some runs on
Definitely.
Them.
And I picked the Indians to win the division. I do think they will. Did you also go with the Indians as your winner?
I did. But also, like, I seriously can see the Twins winning.
Absolutely. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Twins made the wild card game last year?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it would be no surprise for them to become a couple games better and maybe win that division. There's no doubt about that. So, our last division is the AL East. Always an interesting division with the Red Sox and the Yankees. There's no secret about the Yankees. They had their best or the biggest offseason move in the major leagues by trading for Giancarlo Stanton. But the question I had for the division is, will the Yankees starting pitching hold them back? I know whenever I was doing prep for this a couple weeks ago, I forgot they added Sonny Gray, so that is a big deal. But still, I mean, there's questions. The biggest question mark is the starting pitching. The lineup's going to produce runs, and the bullpen is going to shut it down 7th, 8th, and 9th like it did last year. Do you think the starting pitching will hold them back, or do you think it'll be good enough to let this team blossom and reach its full potential?
I think it's good enough because of how good their offense is.
Yeah.
I think if you looked at their staff and you said their staff ERA was a 4.7, which isn't that great.
No.
Like, I think they're going to put up more runs than that.
Definitely. There's going to be a lot of games where they win maybe, you know, 8-6 or whatever, which isn't really high scoring, but that's pretty high scoring. And keep going.
And they have Luis Severino.
Yeah,
he's their number
good.
One.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. Tanaka, mm-hmm. he was hurt, but mm-hmm. He's still, when he came over the first year or two, he was good. Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
CC Sabathia. I was kind of washed out on him, but watching him in the playoffs,
he did. I agree. He's pretty old, and I don't know how much you can count on him, but if they can manage him well and if they don't have to rely on him, I feel like he can do again what he did last year in the playoffs and come in if he's fresh and give them somewhat of a classic CC game in the playoffs.
I agree. And what their bullpen, like you mentioned, with Chapman, Betances, and David Robertson.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
The old closer for the White Sox.
Yeah, and old closer for the Yankees, too, before the White Sox. But that's the thing. I mean, you mentioned their starting pitching doesn't have to be great because their offense. It also doesn't have to be great because they only have to make it to the seventh inning. So if they can get 1-6 covered, Robertson, Betances, and Chapman, that's as good as it gets, 7-8-9. I picked the Yankees to win the division. Did you also have them?
I do. And also, just one thing with the Yankees, they have the best shortstop prospect in Gleyber Torres coming mm-hmm. up. He struggled this spring, but I think they're going to pull the move where it's like you send him down to save service time and pull him up in a month or so, whenever that timeline hits. But then I think also the other team in the East is the Red Sox.
Yeah, usually. And I put them as one of my wild cards. They added J.D. Martinez, which will be huge. They lacked a little bit of pop in their lineup, and he can definitely provide that when you add him to Mookie Betts, Hanley Ramirez, Benintendi. So I think that'll definitely help. They have Chris Sale back. The question with the Red Sox to me is, can David Price be effective and be close to what he used to be? What are your thoughts on Price?
I think Price is good. He needs to stay healthy, which I feel like that's just an issue with every pitcher almost, is like, can he stay healthy? But the issue is, like, when it comes playoff time, like, David Price just isn't proven in the playoffs.
It's weird.
Which is so mind-blowing to me that you can be so good in the regular season and then just not be that good, not even good in the playoffs.
And what makes it even more odd is, when he was first drafted out of Vanderbilt and he came up to the Rays, like right a couple months after he got drafted, he closed out the ALCS. So it was like he was awesome fresh out of college, just a couple months out of college, straight to the ALCS, and he did well there. But ever since then, he has underperformed in the playoffs for sure. Before we leave the AL East, I wanted to ask you, okay, if I put the over-under at 130, and my question was, how many home runs will be hit between Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Gary Sanchez? 130. Are you saying over or under?
Over.
Over.
I think this is going to sound absurd, but it's just because of who they are. I think you can lock in Judge and Stanton for 40.
I think that's pretty safe. If they're both healthy, I agree.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Play all season, yeah. Especially playing in Yankee Stadium, the launching pad that it is.
Yeah.
40 home runs apiece for them. And, like, don't get me wrong, one of them could go for 50.
They would have to in this. Yes. To go over 130.
But I'm saying minimum, I think they both hit 40.
I do too.
And then I want to say Sanchez hit 33 last year, maybe?
He did in, like, 120-something games, I think. 120-something games. Which, positive.
33, that's like... Like, he increased his home run total from 16 to 17. I almost want to say, like, I doubled it.
Yeah.
Which, granted, he played in more games, uh-huh, but, like... Yeah.
And he's, like, kind of become the forgotten guy, but he's awesome. He's awesome. In his rookie year, he only played 50-something games. He hit 20 home runs. Like, he was a phenom as a rookie. Then Judge was a bigger phenom. Now they have Giancarlo Stanton, so he's kind of... But if he's your third slugger, I mean, he's probably going to bat behind those two guys. And so he's going to be seeing pitches that teams are scared to throw at Judge and Stanton. So I think he has a very good chance to hit just as many as those guys. And like you said, they're playing at Yankee Stadium. I mean, they're going to hit bombs. It'll be awesome to watch. I hope they all stay healthy just as a baseball fan. So who did you have for your AL wild card? I had the Red Sox and the Angels. Did you have the same two teams?
I did. And as you mentioned, we have the same views on a lot of things, and this is one of them, because one, if you look at the AL, I think the Angels and Red Sox are almost the obvious pick there.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, the third team would be the Twins. I do see them, you know, being in that race, but other than that, I feel like there's a drop off past that. For the NL wild card, I had the Dodgers and the Brewers. I ended up going with the Brewers just because of their offense. I could see the Diamondbacks also being in that race. Other than the Diamondbacks, I don't know who it would be. I know I had the Rockies winning the division. You did not, so that might be a team that you have for the wild card. But I'm not sure. Who did you have for your NL wild card?
So I have the Rockies, and then I feel obligated. I'm picking the Cardinals.
No, that's fine. I forgot about them.
Which also, I feel like that's not like me picking a terrible team. Like,
yeah,
the Cardinals have
definitely
a legitimate
absolutely
shot.
Absolutely, yeah.
I picked the Rockies. I think they have Charlie Blackman,
yeah,
who's a superstar to me. Ian Desmond, if he can stay healthy and have a year like he did when he signed that one-year contract with the Rangers, like, the Rockies have a legitimate shot.
Yeah.
They're pitching. That's
a question
questionable,
mark.
But offense can mask that up.
That's true.
And they play out in Colorado.
Yeah, and adding Wade Davis to the bullpen only helps the starting pitching too. So let's move to our World Series prediction. I'm not going to lie, we both told each other who we had, and it's going to be kind of disappointing, I feel like. Anticlimactic might be a better way to put it. I had the Astros repeating. I had them beating the Cubs. I know for me it was between the Cubs and the Nationals, and I just was scared because of the Nationals' history, so I didn't go with them. So I had the Astros repeating over the Cubs. Did you have the same thing, or maybe hopefully you had something a little bit different?
I actually do have something different.
Oh, sweet.
I have the Astros and Nationals.
Okay.
Which Astros, I feel like everybody's picking that, and you have to because they're the best team in baseball.
Yeah, they are.
But I picked the Nationals because I think it comes down to the Nats and Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm picking the Nationals because I don't trust you, Darvish.
Yeah.
I think if you look at their lineups, they're fairly similar.
I agree.
And then pitching-wise, I think pitching wins you ball games, especially in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it comes down to it, the Nationals, to me, have better pitching, more experience, mm-hmm. and I'm taking the Nationals over the Cubs.
Okay. Here. So we both have the Astros winning it all. We have a difference in our National League representative. Let's give out some awards. We're just going to do the two main awards, Cy Young and MVP. Let's start with the Cy Young. First, before we give out our awards, I want to remind everybody, this is Fill in the Gap podcast. Matt Brashear is joining me. We're doing our 2018 Major League Baseball preview. We've gone over our division winners and our World Series champions, World Series matchup. Now we're moving on to some awards for this season, starting with the Cy Young Award. In 2017, it was only one of six seasons ever without a 20-game winner. Somebody reminded me of that at church on Sunday, and I didn't really realize that. That's pretty amazing. And of those six seasons, three of those were shortened by a strike. 1981, 1994, 1995. All of those did not have a 20-game winner, but they were shortened by a strike. So really, last year was one of three full seasons in Major League Baseball history without a 20-game winner. There's a lot that goes into that. There's, you know, pitchers are treated way differently now. Bullpens are, there's a lot more emphasis on bullpens. The analytics tell us that that wins is a stupid stat, which I know we both agree with. That plays a part into it, but it's still pretty crazy. Not one single 20-game winner in last season, where Scherzer and Kluber both won Cy Youngs. So for my National League Cy Young, I don't hate my pick. It's just a chalk pick, but I just can't go against it. I'm going with Kershaw. He hasn't won in a few years, actually. He's looking to win his fourth Cy Young. I think that he kind of, in a way, wants to prove everybody that he's still the best in the league and win that Cy Young. So I went with Kershaw, and with apologies to Noah Syndergaard, because I could definitely see him winning it this year for the Mets. But so who did you have for your National League Cy Young?
I went with Noah Syndergaard.
Okay, cool.
I just love him. How can you not like a guy that can pump 100 all game,
yeah,
and has like a 94, 95 mile an hour slider?
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible.
He's absolutely got ridiculous stuff. And he looks so intimidating, too, on the mound.
Yes, and I agree. And he's so good. What I think's going to hurt him, just because of how the MVP and Cy Young voting goes, which I don't agree with. I think the Mets are not going to be that good, and I think that's going to hurt him,
yeah,
when it comes down time to the voting for Cy Young.
Because if your team is not very good, you better have a really, really good year for people to vote for you. For the AL Cy Young, it was kind of tough. I didn't want to pick Kluber again. I went with Chris Sale. He could have won last year very easily. He kind of faded a little bit, you know, relative to how good he was at the beginning. Kluber ended up winning it. I went with Sale this year. Who did you have for AL Cy Young?
I put Chris Sale as well.
Oh, really?
Which I didn't know you actually put Sale.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't know you put him in there.
And I kind of went on the same thing. It's like Corey Kluber. But to me, he's got to slow down at some point, is Corey Kluber.
Yeah.
And I think it's Sale's year. He's got wipeout stuff, and I like him. And we didn't even mention him when we were talking about the Red Sox, but he's going to be a key part to them competing with the Yankees this year, and that's going to make them if he can maintain the Yankees, I would say, this year, he's got a legitimate shot to win the Cy Young.
Yeah, I think so too. moving on to the MVP, last year the AL MVP was Jose Altuve, and the National League MVP was
Stanton.
Yeah, Giancarlo Stanton hit all those home runs. For this year's MVP, I put Nolan Arenado, who I mentioned earlier, for the Rockies. I think he had an argument last year for sure. I like him to win it this year. There's some good candidates for sure. Chris Bryant's won one before. Joey Votto's won one before. I could see Seager winning one for the Dodgers. Justin Turner had a good was close last year. Who did you have for your National League MVP?
Funny, I have Arenado as well.
Of course.
But I actually had Goldschmidt written down, and then when I thought about it, I went with Arenado because, one, I think Arenado is going to have a year that propels the Rockies into the playoffs, and the committee takes that into decision.
Yeah.
And then also, I scratched out Goldschmidt because he's not going to have JD Martinez for the second half protecting him.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, two, they're installing that humidor in
Arizona,
yeah, which is apparently going to limit the home runs.
That's really so funny.
That's going to limit Goldschmidt's stats.
That's
maybe
a good
potentially
point.
So
yeah,
that's why
I didn't know about that. That's very odd that they would do that. But one guy that I have mentioned in this episode before on my favorite team, Joey Votto. I wanted to just talk about him for a little bit. Last year he could have easily won it. He finished second. He finished second in the voting, I believe. And I think because the Reds aren't good, he's overlooked. And I think he's one of the best players in the major leagues. And he's one of the best players, really, statistically, of all time. I think he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. Do you Are you? I would assume that you are a Votto fan because you like analytics in baseball. But is that true?
Yes, I'm big Joey Votto fan. On base machine.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
He has the 11th highest on base percentage of all time. 428 career OBP. 428. He's led the, so these are just some, I'm just going to run through some Joey Votto stats. He's led the NL in walks five and on base percentage five of the last seven seasons, and he missed 100 games in 2014, and that's still a true stat. Last year he had his third straight 3,400/500 slash line season of all time, and his seventh total, which is the 12th most of all time. His plate discipline is absolutely incredible. He had a 15.8 swing rate on pitches outside of the zone and a 71.4 swing rate pitches inside the zone. And I know that's going to sound like that's Chinese to a lot of people. That's the first sub-16% and plus 70% season since 2008, only the 12th of all time. Which is just, I mean, it's just another reason why he's incredible. He's one of five hitters last year with more walks than strikeouts. He had 51 more walks, and the four other guys combined had 10 more walks than strikeouts. He reached base in 150 games, which was the fifth highest season ever. It was the most highest. It was the highest by any active player ever. He had his eighth season of 400 plus on base percentage, which is the second most behind Albert Pujols of any active player. I mean, there's just so many that I can just keep going. He was the 11th player ever with 35 or more home runs, 130 or more walks, and less than 90 strikeouts in a season. The only players with a better career batting average, on base, and slugging are Babe Ruth, Jimmy Fox, Ted Williams, Lou Gehrig, and Rogers Hornsby. I mean, Votto, he's gonna be a Hall of Fame player. That's not even a debate. And I wish the Reds were good so that people would really know about him and he would have better chances at winning his second, third, fourth, whatever MVP. That's my rant as a Reds fan. I just wanted people to be aware of how much I love Joey Votto and how good he is at getting on base, which is the object of offensive players. Anyway, we can move on to our American League MVP, where I'm going to have a lot to talk about there too. I know we both have the same AL MVP. I'm not going to not pick Mike Trout to win MVP any year where he's healthy. Jose Altuve is great. He's also going to the Hall of Fame. Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. Let's just start talking about Mike Trout for a little bit. This will be probably our last thing that we talk about on the show. Let's just start talking about Mike Trout because this is going to be a love fest.
He's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
It's what every year that he's been eligible for MVP voting, he's finished second.
In the top two.
Yeah.
Last year he finished fourth still.
Yeah.
He missed 48 games. He finished fourth.
Yeah. And he was having statistically his best year last year.
He was on pace for his best offensive season.
Until he hurt his thumb sliding into second base. Mm-hmm. So, and then he also, to me, this is going to sound probably crazy, but he should have had another MVP, but Miggy did the Triple Crown.
Well, he should have.
Which, Miggy, you're going to get it if you win the Triple Crown.
Like, whether you should or not, because Trout should have won the MVP I think it was 2012, but, you know, yeah, we won't get it. That could be a whole separate episode. But, yeah, I totally agree.
He continuously gets better and better. And, actually, I know I'd have to, like, look up the exact number of home runs he hits to right field.
Uh-huh.
But they're lowering the wall in Angel Stadium by 18 feet.
Yeah, that'll be...
So, like, that's only going to help him
more.
Yeah, maybe
that'll be, like, five,
like, it's
more
not
going to
hurt him. So, it's definitely... It's going to... It's just, like, he's one of those... Like, if you're a baseball fan, you just enjoy watching Mike Trout because you know how good he is.
Yeah, he's already one of the best players ever. So, I'll run through some stats that I put down for Mike Trout. Since 2012, he has a 53.7 WAR. That's 16.6 higher than the second place guy. And he missed 48 games last year, like I said, and WAR. Whenever you're saying WAR over the past five seasons, that's a counting stat. So his lead would be even greater had he not missed those games. He's led the AL in on base percentage the last two seasons. He's led the MLB in slugging and OPS in two of the last three seasons. He led the AL in OPS plus the last 3 years. As we mentioned earlier, five straight top two finishes before last year, and he finished fourth last year. He led the AL in runs created in four straight seasons from 2013 to 2016, and he only turns 27 in August. I mean, He's unbelievable.
You could make a case. Obviously, he's still young, has to play out his career. You don't know what's going to happen. Greatest player of all time to me.
I mean, I'm a very, very strong supporter of Barry Bonds as the best player of all time. I think it's actually not even close. But I understand. I agree with how great Mike Trout will be. I think it's very, very. If he stays healthy, he's going to be one of the 10 best players to ever play baseball. And I don't think that's a very, you know, that's not a hot take or anything. He's unbelievable. And I hope we get a full season of him because I think he's only getting better. His home run totals are going up. He's striking out less. And he had a problem with pitches up in the zone. And he looked like he corrected that last year before he got hurt, which it's like that was the way people got him out in previous years because he hammered balls down in the zone. But if he's corrected that, there's no way to get him out. There's no way to get him out.
I agree. And one thing we're skipping to is he's a really, really good defender.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people don't take that into like account because of his offensive numbers are so good. But like his defense is premier.
At a premier position in center field.
Yes.
We could just go for hours about Mike Trout, but we'll stop the love fest there. That's our Major League preview. I felt fast, but I'm looking at it, and the time was, we're at 41 minutes. I'm glad we got to cover everything we wanted to cover. Do you have anything that you would like to add that we glossed over?
No, I think we hit everything that is going to be prevalent this MLB season.
I hope so. I'm excited to see how things shake out starting Thursday. Matt, thanks for joining me. This was Fill in the Gap podcast. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes. Search Fill in the Gap on the Apple iTunes podcast app. I'm Alex Philbrick. Thank you for listening.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.